Somebody been playing with my board again. Good afternoon, Coleman. It's 4 minutes after 4 o'clock. 64 degrees outside, if you can believe it. And it's time for Sports Talk Live. Y'all go easy on Jason today. I mean, I'm an Auburn fan right there with him, but, you know, I'm just not going to play taps anymore. I'm not going to talk about Gus Malzahn's salary. I'm just going to calm, stay cool.
That's tough.
Got more coming, right?
That's right. You get used to it.
Yeah.
So, hey, everybody.
I love the news every week. They're like, you know, Gus has made his press statement, and, you know, we're going to overcome and do better this weekend.
Right.
Yeah, he sounds like a preacher.
We were talking about it this afternoon, and each week he says that we've got to get better, we've got to get better. And there's no doubt about that. The question is when or if they are going to get better. And I've got some stats today, Jay, that it doesn't look good for Auburn and their offense and their quarterback, who is touted possibly be the number one drafted quarterback this year.
Well, I guess what's really horrible is, you know, we do a show on Tuesday as well where we focus mostly on local sports. Our game of the week last week, let me see if I can remember all this right, was Holly Pond at J.B. Pennington. And the guys we're talking about were on paper. Clearly, Holly Pond won that game, but they scored no points. And I spoke up and said, that sounds just like Auburn.
Yeah, it's about the same thing. And, man, Auburn way down the list on almost every offensive category they keep stats in, but I'll go over that later on. So
all right.
put the pain off as long as we can. Hey, Ronnie, not with us today. He is having some, truck problems or mechanical problems of some type, so not with us today. So if you're an Alabama fan, you are stuck with two Auburn fans in the studio today. So just bear with us. Not much Auburn fan can say now.
For those of you who thought that I had switched last week because I was so mean to Jason, well, I sat through our mental health counseling show on Tuesday at 4, and I'm all good now. So.
Oh, good.
Had my counseling, Jason.
Oh, it was a tough week, but it's not going to be the last one, so let's just be happy and move on with it. Scores.
Well, let me ask you this before we get too far down the road. Have the prices for the Iron Bowl tickets dropped through the floor yet?
I have no idea. I have no reason to even be looking at Iron Bowl tickets. So
I mean, it's not really going to be a game. It's going to be just an event. So it's like, you know, get there and hug each other and, you know, console the Auburn fans. Okay, I'll shut up.
Yeah, please do. All right, welcome to Sports Talk Live. Let's go over scores from last week. We'll even hit the Auburn score. And then coming up after this, we'll have Chris Andrews at about 10 minutes after 4 from Las Vegas, Nevada, the city that never sleeps. Also, hopefully joining us about 5 p.m., Josh Barris of Augusta's Sports Bar and Grill. He, through a chain of events, became acquainted with Tua, and I'm not even going to pronounce the last name because I chop it up every time, make a mess of it. But I'll let him tell about meeting him and becoming to know him and his family and some really neat things that happened there. Josh Barris, around 5 p.m., give or take. At 5:30, as usual, Rex Chambers will join us, talk fishing. We'll probably talk football. And if Rex is like I am, he probably don't want to spend a lot of time on football. So we'll probably talk more fishing than anything. Until then, let's look at scores from last week, college scores, of course. Buffalo, the team that Chris Andrews told us at the beginning of the year, this is the team to watch. This is the team you might can slip in, make a little money on. They beat Akron 24-6. Buffalo now 6-1. Not the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, the university, 6-1 now. Nebraska, still without a win, loses to Northwestern 34-31 in overtime. Nebraska, 0-6. Florida, number 14 in the nation, defeated Vandy 37-27. I think that was about a 9-point spread on that game. So Florida barely covers and covered at the end. Troy loses to Liberty 22-16. Troy now 5-2. Liberty 3-3. And the interesting thing about this score, Liberty is a team in the future on Auburn's schedule. Right before the Alabama game, I think Auburn plays Liberty. And looking at Auburn, and the fact that Liberty has just beat Troy, don't be shocked if that ends up being a stronger competition than what we originally thought. Don't be shocked if Auburn loses to Liberty. Pittsburgh 14, number 5 Notre Dame 19. Notre Dame now 7-0. Looks like Notre Dame could be a lock for the 14 playoff. Who knows? Michigan State defeats Penn State 21-17. Penn State now 4-2, ranked 8th in the nation. And the shocker of the week, folks, or it was to me, LSU 36, Georgia Bulldogs 16. And LSU dominated this game from the start, 16-0 at halftime. LSU led 19-9 after three quarters and outscored Georgia again 17-7 in the fourth for a 36-16 win over the Georgia Bulldogs. Oregon 30, Washington 27. There goes Washington's hopes of being in the four teams. Ole Miss 37, Arkansas 33. Ole Miss now 5-2, and that is Auburn's competition this week. So be ready for that one. Michigan 38, Wisconsin 13. Michigan now 6-1. And who don't know this score? Alabama 39, Missouri 10. Missouri 3-3. Alabama now 7-0.
That was such a low-scoring game, wasn't it?
Yeah. For Alabama, it was. It cut their points. Not hardly in half, but yeah. Close.
By the way, I've got Chris on the phone with you, too.
Hey, and our board is not working back here, Jay. It's blank.
Yeah, I'll come fix that for you.
Okay. All right, let's don't put him off any longer. Chris Andrews from Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks. Good to be back with you, Jason.
Hey, and I'm flying this ship solo. I've got Jay in the control center, but Ronnie is out, okay. So I don't have to listen to that Alabama stuff today. We can do whatever we want to today. So
it'd be nice to take a week off from that. You know what I mean, Jason?
Hey, Chris, I need a week off from a lot of things, and especially football right now.
Oh, yeah, jeez. Yeah.
I've seen better times to be an Auburn fan.
Yeah, boy, even out here I'm reading what I, you know, whatever I can get my hands on, and, boy, it ain't a pretty picture back there.
No, no, and you know the ugliest thing about it to me, Chris, is the fact that $32 million is standing in the way of sending Gus down the road.
Yeah, that seems to be the sticking point. I mean, but that's a pretty big sticking point.
Oh, right? Yeah, huge.
$32 million for a college.
Huge.
You know, Jesus.
And here's the interesting thing, Chris. You know, I've been a lifelong Auburn fan and have went through the very bad and the very good, but Gus Malzahn, actually his winning percentage is right in there with everybody else that's been at Auburn. He has a 1% higher winning percentage overall than Pat Dye. Pat Dye had a 1% advantage on SEC games. He had a better winning percentage than Tommy Tuberville. The only man that's really ahead of him is Terry Bowden, and we know what happened to Bowden. So.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
But that's what a national championship, playing for the national championship too soon, will do to you.
Yeah, you know, I still say, I think I said last week on your show, you know, that you got to be careful with these things. Cause, I mean, almost every program in the country is like a little dissatisfied with their coach. And, you know, it's... like I said, they all sound good on the way in. They don't sound so bad on the way, or they don't sound so good on the way out. But you got to be careful because you're not just getting rid of this guy. You got to replace him with somebody else too.
That's right.
So you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure who's. I mean, well, with that kind of paycheck, I'm sure they'd be lining up to get into Auburn. But I'm not sure who the right fit would be or anything else. You might just be better off toughing it out with Gus and seeing if he could turn the ship around.
Right. And Chris, I hate to say this. You may have heard me say it before. I am an Auburn fan, but unlike some, I'm a realist also. And let's be honest. Auburn is Auburn. We're going to normally be 9-3, 8-4, with occasional year, you know, that they may go 12. No, we're not Alabama. We'll never be Alabama. And that's just a fact of life. And so enjoy those good years when they come.
Yeah, and they've come, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know. Listen, you can't go back too far to Cam Newton and, you know, some of those other teams. There's some great, great squads that have come out of Auburn. Yeah, so, you know, they're in the hunt a lot more than, you know, 95% of the other teams in the United States.
Right, right. So, you know, I kind of just crawl in my shell and hope for next year. So, Hey, but Chris, until then, let's go back and do a little sports betting 101 today. I thought it'd be a good day. We may have had some people come in that has no idea what we are talking about when they hear a certain term. So if you would, can you give us a little education on sports betting for anyone that's new or fairly new? And first, Chris, just tell everybody again who you are, what your position is, and how long you've been associated with sports betting.
Well, I've been in the legalized gambling business since 1979. So that's 39 years.
Wow.
I'm definitely one of the dinosaurs here.
You've seen it all by now.
I've seen quite a bit. That is for darn sure. So my credentials probably as good as anybody's. As far as explaining, this industry and knowing the industry, anyway, a couple bets that, most people know, like the point spread, and they know the totals and things like that. And, some different bets, like teasers. Teasers are a bet where you just get, 6-point teasers, probably the most common one. And, you just get to, swing the point spread 6 points to your favor. So if your team is +3 and you're going to play a 6-point teaser, you get them +9. Now the catch is, you don't just get about one game.
Right.
Usually it's 2 games, but you can bet them all the way up to like 8 teams. And obviously the more teams you add, the higher your payback is. But, that's how a teaser works. And, when I first got to town in 1979, teaser bet was kind of synonymous with a sucker bet. But that's really not the case anymore. Right now, I think it's one of those things where, like, we as bookmakers and odds makers have made the line much tougher over the years. And I have guys always tell me, boy, how'd you guys get so close? That's not always the best thing in the world for us. Sometimes we want to be way off, But if you're a teaser bettor, you get to take those 6 points. And, usually 6, 6.5, or 7 are the most common, but 6 is the most common. And we're going to be pretty close on the point spread, so you just have to pick the games that are maybe going to be, a little extra close and string them together, and, you can find yourself a couple winners. Like I said, it used to be a sucker bet. It's not a sucker bet anymore. There's a lot of professional guys that bet quite a few teasers and do quite well. Obviously, you have to look through, like, key numbers, and I mentioned, like, if your team was +3, if you play a 6-point teaser, you get to get over like that 7, 7.5. So you're taking +9. That's a pretty good,
difference.
A pretty decent sized bet. The only trouble is most guys look the other way. They want to get a favorite and tease it down. And my one recommendation that I always tell guys who are really sincere and ask me, don't cross zero. If you got a 3-point favorite, don't cross zero and make that team +3. You lose a lot of value doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got a 7-point favorite and you can tease it down to 1, well, that's pretty good. Now you're just asking them to win the game. But, those are the kind of games you look maybe like a 7 or 8-point favorite, tease it down to -1 or -2, you still can lose, obviously. But, you just have a better chance. The numbers are there for you, and the math kind of works in your favor. But again, you just got to string a couple games together, and you might find one game that works out perfectly. But then now you got to get at least one more to put it to put the bet in your favor. Yeah. So be careful of that. And we got a couple other ones, and I guess we'll get to some of these a little bit later.
Chris, since you mentioned that on teaser, let me ask you from personal experience, and I may be doing this all wrong because I didn't have any idea about the crossing zero rule, and that does make sense. But I don't do many teasers, but when I do, it seems like I'm always drawn to the big point spreads where you're getting somebody maybe +24 or -24, and you're adding 6 and getting them at +30 or whatever. Is that the wrong route to go with that?
Yeah, it kind of is, because those numbers or those games are the most volatile. You get a game that's 24, let's say. Who's that going to be? Like Alabama, Notre Dame, something like that. So let's say if they won by 30, is it that surprising? Nah, not really. If you're looking for a favorite like that, maybe you want to get like a 10-point favorite, and then now all of a sudden, you tease the dog up to 16. Well, that's a little tougher to do, you know, for the favorite to win by more than 16. Whereas, like, sometimes, like I said, those other games, just points aren't at a premium, you know, they're just a little cheaper, you know, and if you're paying for the points, which is really what you're doing in a teaser, you want to get the maximum value. You want to pay for, pay for maybe 6 points, and you feel like, you know, really, you probably should have been paying for like about 8 or so, you know, in a situation like that. You know, just,
I had a feeling
just to maximize
the
value on your dollar.
I had a feeling that was it. Hey, one of the probably the most confusing things for a lot of people, and I've heard it, and I know you have many, many times, and I've tried to explain it to people. I know you'll do a better job. But let's just say Ohio State, the poll comes out, Ohio State is ranked number 30, and let's say Texas is number 12. But Texas, for some reason, is a 3-point favorite in this game. And people don't understand it. I've heard it, well, Ohio State's number 3. How can Texas be favored? Explain this to people and tell them how this happens.
Well, the first thing I tell them is, well, the odds makers didn't make the polls.
Right.
We make the point spreads. You know, it's two different things. And I always said, you know, the pollsters have, like, a different job. You know, a loss means a lot more. You know, a loss will drop you way down in the rankings. Whereas, let's say, let's just say this week we had Michigan versus Notre Dame. And I know we had them the first week of the season. But right now, both teams playing real good ball. So you got one team's going to lose, one team's going to win. And let's say Notre Dame beats them, you know, 30-27. You know, as odds makers, you know, we probably wouldn't knock Michigan down at all. You know, that's about what the game figured. They played really well. No reason to knock them down. Whereas the pollsters will knock them down quite a bit because they got that loss. You know, and that's how things get distorted. You know, we aren't making the polls and the pollsters aren't making the point spread. You know, so they're really two very, very different things. And they each have their function and a correct function, but you can't change the nature of what it is. You know, and if you're a fan, fine. You know, just go by the polls. But if you're a bettor, that's not what to go by. You got to go by, you know, we do things much more scientifically as far as like power ratings and, you know, comparative scores. And there's a lot of, you know, inside metrics like yards per play, you know, yards per pass attempt, you know, offensively and defensively that we use to evaluate teams. And it's a whole different thing with the pollsters. And listen, the pollsters, they come out, you know, first thing Sunday morning. Do you think they had a chance to look at every team?
Yeah.
Hell no, they didn't have a chance to look at every team. You know, we come out with our point spread, you know, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, a lot of times Monday. You know, so we're taking a little more time to do all the analytics, not just who won and who lost.
Okay. Hey, each week, it don't matter what the season is, what sport we're playing, the line comes out, and let's just say, as you said, let's say Monday, a team, maybe a 3-point favorite. You don't pay it any attention. You get back on, look Friday, and it's dropped down to a 2-point favorite. What has happened in this situation, and what exactly changes that line?
Well, the main thing that changes that is money. And, you know, we do our best to open the line, and we're not especially looking to split the action. That's kind of a fallacy. That's really not true. What we are looking to do is just create some sort of a ratio between the two teams that give us a decent shot. And you can go through the math of it, and you can just see, you know, if you break it down mathematically, how as long as you get some two-way play, every time you get a bet on each side, it actually increases your odds as a bookmaker. However, you know, you don't want to get too far out, and usually the line, and listen, I mean, college football, the line moves like crazy every week. You know, so we do our best to anticipate what the line's going to be. But by the end of the week, that line is really largely more what the public thinks the line should be than what the bookmaker should be.
Yeah.
And it's not always just the general public. When I say public, a lot of times I mean some real smart bettors, too, that can move the line. And sometimes, you know, we're in a position we play faces. Listen, I got guys come in here. They bet me some huge amounts of money. Huge. I mean, just would really turn your head. And I don't pay that much attention to them. But then I got other guys that bet, which is still pretty decent amount of money, you know, like maybe $5,000 or $10,000, which I know is a lot of money to a lot of folks. But, you know, these guys are professional bettors, and those kind of guys I really pay attention to. Because oftentimes they're on the winning side a lot more times than they're not.
Right.
You know, and those are the guys I pay attention to a lot more than just some guy comes in off the street with a big wad of cash. You know, he might have made it in, you know, the stock market or selling real estate, and that doesn't automatically make you a smart bettor.
He's needing to give it away. He's made it somewhere, and he's needing to give it away. So.
Yeah. And we're more than happy to take it, Jason.
I'm going to throw out some terms that people may hear, and I know you could probably talk for 30 minutes on each one of these, but just give a real quick explanation of these. We've already covered the teaser bet, so if someone hears the word parlay bet, what is that?
Well, that's when you got to string together more than one bet, and there's probably certain situations where it's advantageous to the bettor. Most of the times it's not. It's an advantage to the bookmaker. But there's times when, like, let's say there's a team. Let's use our good friend Alabama. They're a big point spread, and if they win, the game figures to go over. So if you bet like Alabama and over, that's probably a pretty good bet. In many cases for the bettor. Conversely, let's say, who's Bama playing this? They played Missouri last week. Well, let's just say Missouri. If you bet Missouri, you think, well, if they win, the game's going to stay under. Or if they cover, the game's going to stay under.
Yeah.
So you bet Missouri and under. And again, a little bit of an advantage to those players doing that. You get down towards the end of the season, and, you know, sometimes maybe it's a situation where, okay, if Bama wins, and that might not be the best. Let's go over to like the Pac-12. Like if Washington loses, you know, Oregon has a chance to win the Pac-12 North. So you could bet a parlay like that. You bet against Washington and bet on Oregon. You see that a little bit more in the pros, although the pros have really tried to combat that. You know, if New Orleans wins, Carolina doesn't need the game, something like that.
Right.
You know, guys put parlays together like that. I've seen that. But like I said, even though the NFL says they don't worry about gambling and stuff, believe me, they do. And they try to combat that over the years by putting teams like that in the same time slot, you know, so we don't have that sort of thing. But those guys are still watching the scoreboard. And, you know, if New Orleans goes up 21-0, they're probably going to win, you know, and you get some stuff like that. So, otherwise, parlays are just stringing together however many teams you want. You'd be betting, you know, LSU, Auburn, you know, whoever else is playing. And like I said, you'd be Oklahoma and Boston College, Clemson, whoever.
And you have to hit all of them, right? I mean,
you have to hit all of them, and but the payoffs can be pretty high. I've seen, you know, I've personally paid out, $250,000 for guys that hit, one guy hit a 15-teamer.
Oh,
you know, that's a long way to go, but, you know, what are you going to do? You pay him with a smile, pat him on the back, and say, hope I see you next week.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So that's all you can do. But you got to hit every one of them, and, that's, you know, obviously hard to do, and, but that's how you get some pretty big payoffs as well.
I've hit an eight, but unfortunately, when I was doing those online, I was only doing $2 to $5 on each one of them just for fun. But at 18s, it still paid pretty well. So,
yeah, that's not bad. What's about 700 to 1?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chris, is an if bet?
Well, you know, I'm not the best guy on if bets because, you know, the Nevada. I don't even know anybody in Nevada that's ever taken an if bet.
Oh, you don't have if bets in Nevada.
It's kind of weird the way it works because the way we have to do it, the way our regs are, you have to kind of put up the money for, like, the worst-case scenario. And for, like, if bets, makes it kind of strange how you'd have to write that ticket. And we probably did them, like, about maybe 35 years ago, something like that. But the construction of the ticket and the way guys had to pay for it, it kind of like messed everything up.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of, you know, we still have it in our regs and we could do it, but it's not a very popular because nobody's doing it. I know they do it a lot online, you know, and a lot of, you know, credit right. and all that other stuff, and you settle up after the games, you know. But as far as in Nevada, it's almost unheard of, you know, even though I know a lot of guys do bet them online.
Okay. What is a push?
Push is just when you tie your bet, you know, and, you know, you got, like I say, LSU minus 7, they win by 7, and just pushes the bet. You know, the bet is just money back.
Okay.
You know, it's a tie. And I always have guys ask me, well, how do you score half a point in football?
Yeah.
Well, you don't score half a point in football. It just breaks the tie.
Now,
you know,
let me,
either way.
Since you brought that up, let me ask you, this is my personal demon that I need to ask you about. Is the half point, and I can't stand half points. I always get rid of that half point if I have to buy it down, up, or whatever. Is that good, or is that half point work in my favor some of the time?
Well, it does work in your favor sometimes, and I see guys that they let you do it in parlays, you know. And if you have somebody, you have a bookmaker that'll let you buy that half a point in a parlay, I'd recommend it, you know, because if you lose, you know, listen, let's face it. If you lose, it doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
You know, if it wins, I mean, you know, and then, like, maybe, you know, your parlay should come back $200, and instead it came back $190 instead because you bought the, you're not going to be that pissed off.
No,
you know, you still won your bet. You know what I mean? But if you lose, like, you took 3.5, and then you could have taken plus 4, and that the game comes 4, you're going to be pretty ticked. You know, so I would always say, if you buy the half a point in a parlay, it's probably worth it. If you buy the half a point on individual games, probably not worth it. It's hard to win at 11-10 if you're a bettor. You know, you're laying 11-10 on games, it's tough to win. Now you're gonna start laying 6-5, man, you're making it even, you know, double tough to win. So I don't like it, I don't see there's a big advantage betting them on individual games, but if you do have a bookmaker that'll let you bet them in a parlay, I think, first of all, the math, you know, the math kind of works out, but psychologically it really works out, you know. So I do recommend that for a guy who's betting a couple $100 a game. I think it's, you know, probably a pretty good investment.
Okay, one more, and we just mentioned it, both of us, a couple of times, buying points.
Yeah, like I said, I just, you know, it's really difficult, you know, especially college football. I think that I would almost tell anybody in college football, don't buy half a point. Now, the parlay thing is different, you know, but don't buy half a point. Pros, again, a little bit different. Depends on what you pay for it. The 3 and the 7, if you're paying, you know, a modest price. And I used to, when I lived in Reno, I had one guy who let me buy, I could go from 2.5 to 3, or from 3.5 down to 3, and he only charged me 6 to 5, and it was well worth it. And I always used to, people would ask me about it, and I said, well, I'm not giving it up. I'm not telling you who it is, because the guy let me do it. I'm not sure he'd let anybody else do it, you know. But that was definitely worth it in the pros. College, like I said, probably not worth it. Same thing with, like, the 7.5 to 7, or 6.5 up to 7. You know, if you could lay $1.20 on that, you know, it's probably worth it. You know, but again, be careful with it. You know, the lower the total, the more valuable the points. So if you're talking about, I can't think of something, you know, let's say, you know, New Orleans and Kansas City, the totals figures would be about 60. Yeah, probably not worth buying half a point. Even though that game would come 3, you looked at the New England Kansas City game last week.
Oh, yeah.
It fell right on 3. You know, but, you know, points aren't at a premium, so you're probably not making a wise, but maybe you are. You know, who knows? It's still a football game that'll come right down at the end, no matter what. Yeah, but pros, it might be worth it in certain spots. College is probably not, like I said, unless you're buying them in a parlay.
Okay. Now that we've got a little education, and people that haven't heard those terms maybe will be more acquainted with it when they hear us talking about it. So let's jump back to football, and as bad as I hate to talk about it, let's start with the Auburn Tigers. Chris, tell me what in the heck is going on at Auburn. Has the Gus bus ran completely off the road now? And what, in your opinion, will it take for Gus to get back the few faithful he still had remaining? I mean, it's a burn all now at Auburn. So.
Yeah, you know, I've been reading quite a bit about it this week, you know, largely just trying to prep for this show. And I'm surprised just how bad it is. You know, listen, things did go south on Auburn this year. But, you know, Jason, one of the things we talked about game one, that offensive line just was not very good.
No.
And, you know, I know we keep beating a dead horse here, but, you know, you got to have a good offensive line, especially in the SEC where, you know, there are so many good defensive lines. You better have somebody that can neutralize that. And, you know, I guess, listen, Gus got to take responsibility. He's going to be the head recruiter. And if he didn't have enough, size and strength along the offensive front, I mean, that's on him. But, you know, it's very tough, obviously, to win in that conference, the number one conference, the number one division in the number one conference. And it's not like they're getting blasted every week. You know, they're losing some close games. They're in most of them. You know, but I think right now for him to get things straightened out, if he wants to keep his job, he just about has to win out. And that includes beating Alabama in the Iron Bowl.
Ooh.
I think, you know, maybe if he lost, again, like 30-27 in a barn burner, that might be enough. But I think he's got to pretty much win out. We talked about how many games, you know, they were going to be favored in just about every game the rest of the year until they got to Alabama. So they're going to have to win. You know, just my reading, and you know, you're on top of it a lot more than me. Just seems like, you know, he better win that Iron Bowl again. You know, and he's won a couple of them.
Yeah.
You know, but he's going to have to win one again to keep his job. And listen, we all love money, obviously. And you know, if he gets his $36 million or whatever, I'm sure that'll soften the blow. But you know, these guys all have their big egos too, and I'm sure he doesn't want to be out of a job, fired from, you know, a job that could have been his for, you know, one of the best jobs in the country. But I still say, be careful, you know, for Auburn fans. You're going to, okay, you get rid of Gus. Well, who do you have in mind
that's
coming in after that? And, I mean, I'm sure there's some good guys out there, but are they going to be any better than Gus Malzahn? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. So I'd be awful careful. But, boy, it sounds like he really did kind of lose the crowd, lose the alumni, lose the student body, and, you know, like I said, I think he's going to have a really big finish to win those guys back. And I think that's what he's going to need to get another year. But, you know, I'm not the guy controlling the purse strings for Auburn.
Yeah.
You know, that's the guy going to make the final decision.
And, you know, the rumor mill is, I don't know that this is true, but I don't doubt it, knowing some things that has happened at Auburn. But before the contract was actually signed and put together for Gus, there was at least two of the most prominent boosters brought to the table and pretty much put on the spot, you know, to keep Gus. Would you be willing to ante up to pay the buyout if that became an issue? And supposedly there's two or three ready to write the check if that comes about for $32 million. So,
that's a hell of a check, isn't
yeah,
it?
Some people got more money than
wow.
they got sent, so.
Jeez.
Hey, if I win that lottery Friday night, I might just write it. It's $900 million now. So.
I'll tell you what. Party's at your house if
yeah.
you win that
oh,
one.
I'll
fly
you.
Out to Coleman for that one.
Now, I'll fly my private plane out to get you if I win that.
So. You got it, pal. It sounds good to me.
Okay, let's talk about Alabama. Again, they took care of Missouri. It wasn't as pretty as some would like, but again, they done their job, covered the point spread in most cases. And again, the line this week sitting in the four touchdown area. Do you ever recall any other college or pro team that has been favored as heavy as Alabama each week?
I can't really think of one. Like I said, the one team, according to my numbers, that I always had the number one team was Florida State, Charlie Ward's Florida State team back in 93, I think it was. And they were blowing out teams every week. Now, don't forget, they lost in Notre Dame, too. So, you know, there's nobody who's completely invulnerable.
Right.
The only thing I'd say about Bama, all of a sudden, a little worried about their defense.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're a great team, and they score a lot of points. But all of a sudden, that that defense is kind of sneaking up on you. It might not be quite as good as what we'd been used to out of those Alabama teams. So, you know, Ronnie's probably not listening. I don't know what he's doing, but yeah, I'd be awful careful if I was a Bama fan. Don't get too cocky. That defense right now is showing some cracks in it, and I'd be a little concerned. You know, they still seem to be the best team in the country and deserve to be that. But I don't know. That defense is definitely something to be worried about.
Oh, and you know, they're one injury away. Tua, as good as he is,
yeah,
scared everyone to death last week, and it'd be a whole different game if he goes down.
But, absolutely.
Chris, you know the ifs and whats of sports and all, and one of the craziest ones you hear, it seems like each year, and usually it's about Alabama. Alabama can beat this team, can beat that team, and then they always jump into the NFL. Let's take this year's worst NFL team, whoever you say it is, and put them playing Alabama. Just throw out what you would guess the point spread to be, and is there a chance in Hades that Alabama could compete with the worst NFL team of the year?
Well, I think right now we're probably going to see the worst team of the year on TV tonight, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. And I don't think Bama would stand any kind of a chance against them.
Yeah.
I think they'd have to be at least a 28-point underdog. You know, Bama has, you know, a bunch of guys who will eventually be good enough to play in the pros. But don't forget, Arizona has 53 guys who are good enough to play in the pros right now, including Josh Rosen, who's a pretty good quarterback. You know, so I think right now they'd just be overpowered. Bama would be overpowered by a team like Arizona, or just pick almost any team any year. Have to be at least 24, 28-point favorites. You know, just pick any one of them, and that's about what they would be.
Well, that is my opinion, but some, you know, will never believe it. But a guy I knew that actually signed with the San Francisco 49er, played at Auburn. He's our insurance agent now, and he told me one time, he said, "Think about the hardest I was ever hit," said, "in college, and when I got to the pros, everybody hit like that."
Yeah, that's so funny, because I knew a guy, I was in finance for a couple years, and we had a guy, you know, I don't want to mention his name, but he's a Stanford kid, yeah, so a real smart kid, and he would tell us the same thing. He says, because my one partner, actually two of my partners both played college football, he says, "Think about the hardest hit you ever had in college football." Is that's every single play in the NFL. Like, this kid was a Stanford kid. He knocked around the NFL for about 3 years, done taxi squads and whatever, and he finally said, you know, he had enough. He was, you know, smart, had a good future in front of him. He didn't want to go through all the crap anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But he just said the pain was just too much. He said, you know, and, you know, you play college ball Saturday, you know, by Tuesday you feel fine. He said, you know, in the pros, you play Sunday. If you feel good by Friday, count it a miracle. You're in pain.
I can't imagine that. And this, the one I'm talking about, he played with Pat Sullivan and Terry Beasley.
Wow.
So when he played with the 49ers, I think his salary at that time was like $39,000 a year. Yeah.
That doesn't sound like much.
No, little change in NFL since then.
Yeah, sure is.
Chris, we've got a lot of football left to play, and things seem to always work out. Over the past 2 or 3 weeks, we've watched as some of the people we thought would be contenders, such as the Georgia Bulldogs, go down. Not going to be in the 14 playoff, who knows. But
yeah, you said it. You predicted it.
I didn't think it would happen that fast, but it did happen the same week. So I'm going to give you a team, and you give me just a guess at the percentage chance that they will be in the 14 playoff. Now, just an educated guess, nothing scientific. The University of Alabama.
85%.
85%. Ohio State.
80%.
I'm surprised Alabama didn't make 100%, really. But
yeah, it's close, 85.
He's not from Alabama, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they'd have to lose to LSU and Auburn, and, you know, a bunch of other teams win.
All right, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, I got 80%. And, I grew up with Pittsburgh as a Notre Dame hater. And I always said, they could be 8-4 and playing for a national championship. That's just the way people look at them. So they're going to be favored every game from here on out. I think they get in the playoffs.
Clemson.
Well, I give them the highest chance, 90%. I just don't see anybody out of that ACC beating them. And I thought, you know, some things might kind of fall against them because their conference is so weak. But, you know, with Georgia losing now and, you know, a couple other teams falling by the wayside, they're 90%. I mean, they're going to be there.
All right. Just go ahead. If you're a Clemson fan, go ahead and start buying your tickets.
Yeah.
All right. A team that lost last week, we just talked about, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, I give them a 25% chance. They'd have to win out, and including beating Alabama in the SEC championship.
All right. A team I never thought I would be mentioning right now, the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, I thought we'd be talking about the hot seat for Ed Orgeron, but right. I give them about a 10% shot, slight shot to get in.
All right. The Michigan Wolverines.
You know, they're playing pretty good ball right now. Obviously, they'd have to beat Ohio State and whoever comes out of the other side of the bracket there. But I give them about a 20% shot.
All right. Oklahoma.
Well, still a lot of flaws on defense. They do have the loss on their record. But, you know, they need a lot of things to fall in place. But I give them about a 10% shot.
All right. And last on the list, and after last year, I had to include them, Central Florida.
I give them a 2% shot. I mean, they would need an absolute miracle to get in. But, you know, I guess miracles happen. And, you know, once you're talking about a vote, you know, there's a lot of politics involved. So I give them maybe a 2% shot, but not much more than that. Even that's probably a little bit of a stretch.
If it comes down to it, do you think there's any chance that the people that make that decision look at last year and the fact that Central Florida beat Auburn and then think, you know, we need to include them this year?
Yeah, I think that'd be part of the equation, yeah. But I think you're going to have to go to 8 teams before you get a team like Central Florida that gets any kind of consideration. And by the way, if we went to 8 teams, I would put them in. I'd put them in as an 8 seed, and I always thought, like, the top 4 seeds that first week should just get home games. And, you know, I'd love to see UCF play at Alabama. I think it'd be a pretty good game myself. And, man, you know, I don't know what the tickets would go for. Probably pretty high, and I'd love to see that game personally.
Yeah, I would too. All right, two more, and then we're going to let you go. Let's put the teams in 3 categories, and you give me the best team in each one. We're going to say unbeaten teams, teams with 1 losses, and teams with 2 losses, because we always hear they're the best team in the nation with a loss. They're the best team in the nation with 2 losses. And then Auburn, they're the best team in the nation with 3 losses. And next week it'll be 4. So, all right, who is the best unbeaten team in the nation?
I love your power of negative thinking, Jason. It's a thing of beauty. Well, I mean, undefeated, listen, it's Alabama. I mean, they could get beat. And, you know, I mean, they got beat last year, too. But they're still the best team right now, undefeated or however you want to look at it. They're the best team in the country.
Okay. Who do you think is the best team with a loss on their record?
You know, it was a team that I was not very high on early in the season. I thought they'd struggle, and, you know, they did struggle game one, and I'm talking about Michigan. You know, Notre Dame beat them, and I know they beat them by 7, but really that game was not that close. They really should have beat them by about 21 or at least 14. You know, so I didn't think Michigan had much going for them, but they've gotten better and better over the course of the year, and I know Harbaugh, a lot of mixed emotions on Harbaugh, but I think this year he's proven to be a pretty good coach. He could have lost that team early. But I think Michigan right now, the best one-loss team in college football.
Okay, well, one more, best team with 2 losses.
Well, I'm going to go to Penn State, you know, and I know my bias is probably showing, but, you know, they lost 2 very close games. You know, they lost in the last seconds last week to Michigan State. They lost by, you know, 1 point to Ohio State the week before that. So I still think they're the best 2-loss team in the country. You know, unfortunately, Franklin has a way of losing some of these really close games. And, you know, it's an issue, but I still think they're probably the best 2-loss team in the country.
Okay. I think I would have to agree with you there. In fact, they could just as easily be undefeated right now and we'd be talking about them in the playoffs. So.
Absolutely.
All right, before we get your picks that's going to make us some money, let me throw out about 5 games here, and you just give us who you think will win and how you think the point spread will end up. Auburn -3.5 at Ole Miss.
Well, you know, like I said, your power of negative thinking has kind of swayed me. But right now, they're kind of on a downswing. I think I'd have to take Ole Miss plus the points. Even if Auburn wins, I think it's going to be a real tight game. Goes right down to the end. So I'd take those points and have them in my back pocket.
Okay. Alabama minus 28.5 at Tennessee.
Like I said, I've been worried lately about Alabama's defense. I think that back door is going to be wide open. Not that Tennessee can win this game, but I think they can hang in there and, like I said, maybe get the late score and cover. I think I go with Tennessee here.
All right. And probably the most interesting game of the week to me, Mississippi State plus 6.5 at LSU.
Boy, I like LSU right now the way they're playing. They seem to be playing with a ton of confidence. And, you know, Ed Orgeron, and you know, I knocked him as much as anybody else.
Well, I was there with you.
You know, he's I think part of it is he does have a really good staff, and he's not afraid to delegate some of that authority down to his staff, and they've done a real good job. And, you know, I like LSU this week. I think they handle Miss State.
All right. Vanderbilt plus 11.5 at Kentucky.
You know, I think Kentucky's playing pretty good ball, but this might be a time for them to fall asleep a little bit. And this has always been kind of a big game for Vandy, mostly because they think that they could beat Kentucky. They've two of the bottom of the barrel teams, football wise, certainly in the SEC. So I kind of like Vandy with the points. I think they hang in there with Kentucky.
Now one more, your team, Penn State minus 14.5 at Indiana.
Well, you know, over the years, and more so with the Paterno years than with Franklin, you know, we've had some trouble up in Indiana. But I think this week, right now, coming off the two losses, like I said, I worry about Franklin an awful lot in these close games, if he's not getting a lot of points. But this is the kind of team that could probably wax pretty good. And I think maybe they take out 2 weeks' worth of frustration on Indiana. This is about the time every year Indiana starts falling off. They've never had a team with an awful lot of depth. So usually about halfway through the season, that lack of depth starts coming through, and you know, I think Penn State probably whoops them this week.
Okay. Before we let you ride off into the sunset, get out your crystal ball, give us this week's best plays, and be sure to save your pick of the week for your last pick.
Okay, well, I'm going to take Maryland plus 9 over Iowa. That's a team that, you know, they've had a lot of off-the-field problems, obviously, about as bad as it could get with the death of one of the players in the preseason. But, you know, they've actually played some pretty decent ball. And Iowa, not a great team to cover. They win an awful lot of games at home, but they don't always score an awful lot of points. I like Maryland plus the 9 against Iowa. I also like Washington State minus 3 against Oregon. That's one of those, it's counterintuitive. Oregon really starting to play some pretty good ball. But so is Wash State, and they've kind of snuck up on some people. Game day is in Wash State. And my daughter lived in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which is not far from Wash State, for a couple years. And, I mean, those people, they, you know, it just means an awful lot to them. And you got a game like this against a pretty good rival. You got game day coming to town. I like Wash State minus the 3 against Oregon.
Okay.
One more I got, and then I'll give you my best bet. NC State plus 17.5 against Clemson. Again, Clemson, even though I gave them 90% chance to make the playoffs, I'm not sure they're playing such great ball here. And NC State playing some pretty good ball themselves, taking the 17.5 against Clemson. I think they keep it fairly close. I don't think they'd win the game, certainly, but I think they could easily lose by anywhere from 7 to 14. I think the final's going to be somewhere right in there.
Okay.
And my best bet, you're not going to be surprised at all. I want Buffalo minus 1 over Toledo.
All right, man. Yep. Ride that horse.
A little bit of a short price. Toledo opened the favorite. All the smart money this week has been on Buffalo, and I can see why. Buffalo's a pretty good team. God, I wish I'm terrible with names, Jason. But, you know, the coach, he's been there like 3 years now. He came from Wisconsin Whitewater, where he was an unbelievable coach. Probably not going to last long at Buffalo. Somebody's going to try to steal him. But, you know, he's recruited well, and he's finally got his kind of team. and I think they beat Toledo. This is my best bet of the week.
All right, man. Hey, it's been very profitable so far. You picked that one at the beginning of the year, and man, it's what, 6-1 now, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right, Chris. Let me apologize for keeping you longer than I meant to. I know you've got another show coming up, and man, I appreciate you being with us again, and especially for spending the overtime with us.
Well, you know, I've been a little under the weather for the last couple of weeks, and like I say, it's such a great pleasure talking to you guys and being around to be able to talk to you guys.
I really
do appreciate it. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chris, and have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Chris Andrews from Vegas, and man, he's got the knowledge. He knows the point spreads. Stay with us. We'll be trying to get in contact with Josh Veras, talk a little Tua, see what he's really all about. Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman. We'll be right back.
Live 95 is your home for Friday Night Live.
As they fake it, they fake it. And he's going to get the first down, and then some. No, he's going to break all the way, and he'll be pushed out of bounds at the Mortimer Jordan 30-yard line. That was number 5, Jimmy Charlie.
Each week, Friday Night Live features the best in Coleman County High School football.
And he's going to throw, heaves it out to 27.
Oh, he got it.
Coleman touchdown.
He's going to sneak it in.
Number 27, Ezra Burke.
This week, the Good Hope Raiders look to secure a playoff spot as they travel to Curry to smoke out the Yellow Jackets in a pivotal 4A Region 5 game. Join Dylan Beamert, Josh Lawler, and Chris Greer every Friday night for Friday Night Live. Listen live every Friday night here on Live 95 or tune in anywhere in the world via the TuneIn Radio app. Just search WRJMLP Coleman or stream at www.live95coleman.com. Friday Night Live, this Friday night here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant, has been a proud supporter of Live 95 since the early days. Angela at Scissor Salon does her best to keep you looking your best. Haircuts, colors, perms, scissors can handle them all. And walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. 735-3089. 735-3089. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Dylan Deemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, a preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio. This is Dylan Deemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, a preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Colman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage, in MLS number 338177, Equal Housing Lender. Allstate agent Whitney Aldridge is now serving Coleman. She lives and works here just like you. And with all kinds of local insurance advice, Wendy is someone you can count on to protect all that's good in your life. Wendy makes it easy to save on the quality protection you need. She'll even help do the switching and paperwork for you. You can stop by Wendy's new office today for a free quote, located at 2130 2nd Avenue Northwest or Highway 31 just north of Highway 157. That's 2130 2nd Avenue Northwest or Highway 31 just north of Highway 157.
Are you a talented artist, baker, or candlestick maker? Then you'll want to be set up at Maker's Market happening December 15th from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock. Right in the middle of downtown Coleman at the Fest Hall Market Flats. Located in the heart of Coleman's beautiful historic warehouse district, vendor applications are being accepted now. More information on the festival itself or how to become a vendor, you can visit the Makers Market page on Facebook, or you can send an email to makersmarketcoleman@gmail.com. It's the 2018 Makers Market coming to downtown Coleman. December 15th from 9 until 4 at the Fest Hall Market Flats.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A man from Harvest facing charges for breaking into someone's home, doing his laundry, and even taking a bath. Limestone County Sheriff's Office says Tyler Keith Love appeared to be under the influence of drugs when the homeowner caught him. He faces a burglary charge. Tornado Alley could be shifting. A new study says over the past 40 years, the number of tornadoes has decreased in the southern and central plains, commonly known as Tornado Alley, but increased in regions of the Midwest and Southeast, which is known as Dixie Alley. That stretches from here in Alabama to Illinois. The lead researchers say Texas and Oklahoma still get more tornadoes, but the Southeast and Midwest are closing the gap. A more than $1 million grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission is going to community colleges in Alabama, the money to be used to develop skills in the coal mining industry. Governor's office says the grants will help thousands of students and their families, as well as numerous companies. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Investigators in Jackson County working on what they believe is a homicide. A woman badly cut, dying on the way to the hospital. Investigators say the incident started at Normandy Apartments. A person of interest is in custody. A backlog of rape kits reported in Jefferson County. Some date back to the 1980s. DA Mike Anderton says a more than $1 million grant from the Department of Justice will help pay for building a database to better track sexual assault kits in the future.
What we're not trying to do is re-traumatize people, victims, by somehow giving them hope, and then we can't follow through with it.
So far, 75 kits have been sent to the state forensics lab. Anderton says a phone line's been set up to update those affected by this issue. The investigation continues after a plane crash near Opelika. It happened alongside Interstate 85 last evening. After the plane began to lose pressure, one passenger taken to the hospital for minor injuries, two others suffering only scrapes and bruises. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you could make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
In money news, the Auburn City Council signs off on a project to bring a large hotel to the downtown area. Under the proposal, the Southern Living Hotel would go up on North College Street. Current shops located within the site may get a new space as part of the development. For now, there's no timetable on construction. Montgomery City Council member has an idea to clean up the city and get rid of vacant properties. William Green's Mow to Own program, asking citizens living close to vacant lots to volunteer to take care of those properties for 6 months. Then they'll get a chance to take full ownership. Green says he's still working on some of the details before he proposes it to the entire city council. The Denham building in downtown Birmingham will change. A development team from Atlanta investing $30 million into the Purple Warehouse to turn it into a mixed-use facility. Developers say they'll use the first floor for commercial businesses. Following floors would be for apartments and a restaurant. Officials say the warehouse should be move-in ready by next summer. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95. Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
All right, 5:05 p.m. on Thursday afternoon, and just as promised, we have with us Josh Veras of Augusta Sports Bar and Grill. Josh, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Josh, first off, before we get to talking about Alabama football, and just tell us, how is the restaurant business going, man? I know that is one stop I love to make, but how is the restaurant business in Coleman, Alabama?
It's really good, actually. There's a lot of support with locals and even people from out of town, so we're very blessed. It's a humbling experience, a lot of work, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's a great opportunity for us, and we're just excited to be a part of the Coleman business.
Hey, we're glad to have you, and give you a little free plug here. I've been there several times, and everything I eat, I always think that's my favorite till I go back and try something else. Everything I've eaten's been great. So, hey, Josh, yeah, I've heard the story. You've told me the story, but most people haven't heard it. So just tell everyone how you came to know Tua, and you may can pronounce his last name. I can't even pronounce it, so I'm not going to try. But how did you come to know him and his family?
Well, my sister was working in Hawaii and the Honolulu area, and it was around Thanksgiving. I was wanting to make a trip out there to see her, her husband and the kids, so they didn't spend it alone. And she actually, through work, became good friends with Tua's uncle and aunt. And so once I arrived there, she informed me that the Tongva'aloa has actually invited her and her family and myself over for Thanksgiving dinner. So we actually got to spend that time with them, and that's where I actually met Tua. It was at his grandmother's house.
Wow. Did you know at that time that that was going to be Alabama? Had he committed to Alabama at that time?
He did. He earlier in the summer, I believe, he actually already committed. And so I knew that he was going to Alabama, and I knew he was a really talented player. But as far as where we're at now, I didn't expect that.
No, I don't think many people did. And one thing, if you see him on TV, see him talking to the reporters and all, you know, he always brings in his faith. And a lot of people, that's kind of a turnoff. And for one reason only, a lot of times the person you see on the camera is not the same once the lights go down. And what you know of him, is this true with Tua? Is he the same person on and off the camera?
Very much so. And it's not just him. His entire family, you can tell that was how they were raised, from his nieces and nephews to aunts, uncles, cousins, his brother, his parents. It's all the same. They are very, very faithful people. They rely a lot on their faith. And so when he speaks about it, it's not just for the camera. That's his heart. And he shares that not only with himself, but with his family. And so when you see him outside of sports and whatnot, I mean, it's amazing at how he not only speaks of it but lives that life as well.
Right. Well, that's great. There's not many like that. You know, you see it a lot of times, and then you hear something later on where that person is not anything like what you thought, but I had a feeling that was going to be the case. That's great to hear. You ate Thanksgiving dinner with him, so that had to be a little different. I know you told me here in the States, we're used to saying the blessing or grace, as some people would call it, and they do things a little different there, right?
They sure do. You know, we were getting ready to eat, and we all bowed our heads. His uncle actually does some preaching and leads music at their church. So we assumed that we were just going to do a prayer as we're accustomed to. And the next moment, they break out in their own traditional song with a language we didn't understand. But everybody had a part. There were parts where the women would sing and the men were quiet and then the men would sing. It wasn't just one person. The entire family, again, from his grandmother down to the youngest nieces and nephews, were all singing this spiritual song, and it was just beautiful. I mean, we didn't understand a word, but you could feel that it was something amazing.
Right.
And that was probably one of the greatest experiences I've ever had.
Yeah, that sounds neat, just hearing about it. And if I'm not wrong, if I'm not remembering wrong, you say this family is pretty good sized folks, right? The uncle and so forth.
They are. I believe that culture, you know, they're a little bit bigger bone than most, but he has an uncle, his name's Tua as well, and you know, this man is one massive man, and just to tell you he's a big man is not to do it justice, but sitting there, I was able to speak with him, and again, one of the nicest guys you would ever meet, and you know, they're all large people, and it's somewhat intimidating at times, but for them to just open their arms and welcome you, it's just an amazing feeling.
Yeah, and man, I can't believe what a step of faith all of the family took by moving here to the United States, and it's really worked out for them so far, so hopefully it continues. Do you at all know the younger brother? Were you acquainted with him any?
We met Talia, which is his younger brother. He actually was going to a different school, so my sister wasn't able to watch as many of his games, but from following him at Thompson and a little bit from what his dad and uncle said prior to them moving here, he's a very gifted athlete. You know, I don't believe he started as a quarterback either. He had to work into that. His dad helped him. But he's not quite as mobile as Tua at the moment. You know, more of a pocket passer, very good arm, like his brother, but more of a pure pocket passer, I would say, than Tua.
Okay, good deal. How old is he? I don't even know how old he is. So.
He's a senior this year at Thompson.
Any idea? I know this would be just something you probably heard off TV, but you've kept up with it closer than me. Where he might be interested in attending college?
Well, he spoke about Bama and kind of following suit with his brother. You know, one of the reasons they came to Alabama is they wanted an area that was very much like their home, where it's, you know, Christian based, very faith based area, and so the South was kind of their dream to go there. And so I believe his brother's probably following suit with that as well.
Okay. Good deal, good deal. Josh, we have several guests call in time to time, and every time we do, I have to ask this. We always want to get the four-team prediction of who you see as being in the playoffs, and I guess I can go ahead and write down Alabama, pretty safe bet there. But what All other three teams do you want to add to Alabama then?
Well, I believe Clemson, they probably have the easiest path in, so I'd probably put them at number two.
Okay.
And then I believe if Notre Dame wins out, I think there's a good chance that they'll definitely be in it, even being independent, not in a conference. I think they could possibly jumping that third spot. And then I'm not a big Ohio State fan, so I'm probably going to make them mad. But I think Michigan's actually going to end up taking care of that conference and making it in that fourth spot.
Well, I wouldn't mind that myself. I'm not a big Ohio State fan either. So.
I'm not either.
You've got those four teams. Now, who do you have in the championship, and what kind of result?
Well, I think if Tua stays healthy, our team stays healthy, and we continue to put up points, as long as our defense shows up, I definitely think we have a great opportunity to be in that game. And then, with that being said, Clemson really hasn't impressed me enough to beat a Notre Dame. I think possibly if Clemson's matched up against Notre Dame, they have a chance to beat them. Really, whoever's in that third spot, whether it's Notre Dame or Michigan, I think they have a good chance against Clemson. So, but right now, I would say probably Alabama versus Notre Dame, and I believe we could definitely take that.
Yeah, I'm afraid that might be a repeat of the last time they met in the championship. But
hopefully not.
If anyone, I know they're not, but if anyone with the ESPN heard you just predict Alabama Notre Dame, they probably wet their pants, because that would be a dream come true to have Alabama Notre Dame again in the national championship. Probably be the highest rankings they could get on TV. All right. I don't know if you heard the guest before us, but your predictions there is just about right on what he said. He actually gave Clemson the highest chance of getting in at 90%, Alabama at 85%. Let's see. I think Michigan was about like a 25%, but Notre Dame was like a 80%. So, yeah, you're right in there what he thought, so.
Yeah, I'm just hoping I'm hoping Michigan can definitely win that conference and take it away from Ohio State. I get tired of hearing about them and watching their weak schedule. I'm not a big fan of them, to be honest.
Kind of like Auburn fans get tired of hearing about Alabama, right?
I give you that one. We've had some fortunate opponents this year.
Afraid this year it don't matter who the opponent is. Alabama is in a different league this year. It's not even fair now. So.
Well, I think we got a good stretch coming up. It'll really test us with LSU and definitely Auburn. That's always a game regardless.
Wow, LSU shocked me the way they handled Georgia this past week. I would have never dreamed that.
No, I ask a fellow that comes up here, a big Georgia fan, and if LSU's that good or – Jake Fromm and the Bulldogs just didn't show up, and I think he didn't really have a good answer for that either.
Right.
So, we'll see what happens.
Well, Josh, man, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. I know you're busy. It's about time for people to start rolling in, hunting something to eat for supper, so I know you're busy, but I really appreciate you joining us. And, folks, I'm not just telling you this because Josh is on the air. If you're hunting something good to eat, that's the place you need to go, Augusta's, and you can't go wrong. Anything on the menu, I promise you, you're not going to go wrong. And, Josh, once again, thanks a million for being with us and sharing your story.
Anytime. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too, Josh. All right, Josh Veras from Augusta's Sports Bar and Grill told the story of eating Thanksgiving dinner with Tua and his family. What an experience that would be. All right, 5:17 coming up shortly. Rich Chambers will talk fishing, football, anything else he wants to talk about. Might even get into some politics, who knows. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Coleman Appliance Repair is your locally owned and operated appliance and repair company. Servicing most models and brands, they can be found on Facebook or Google for in-home appliance repair needs. Proudly supporting Coleman area athletics and collegiate football, when that appliance frustrates you and you're in need of a repairman, Robert Brantley is ready to help. You can call him at 256-507-3415 or find him on Facebook, Google, or online at ColemanAppliancerepair.com.
Live 95 is your home for Friday Night Live.
As they fake it, and he's going to get the first down, and then some. No, he's going to break all the way, and he'll be pushed out of bounds at the Mortimer Jordan 30-yard line. That was number 5, Jimmy Charlie.
Each week, Friday Night Live features the best in Cullman County High School football.
And he's going to throw, heaves it out to 27.
Oh, he got it.
Cullman touchdown.
He's going to sneak it in.
Number 27, Ezra Burke.
This week, the Good Hope Raiders look to secure a playoff spot as they travel to Curry to smoke out the Yellow Jackets in a pivotal 4A Region 5 game. Join Dylan Diemert, Josh Lawler, and Chris Greer every Friday night for Friday Night Live. Listen live every Friday night here on Live 95 or tune in anywhere in the world via the TuneIn Radio app. Just search WRJMLP Cullman or stream at www.live95cullman.com. Friday Night Live, this Friday night here on Live 95, Cullman's independent radio.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Cullman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant, has been a proud supporter of Live 95 since the early days. Angela at Scissor Salon does her best to keep you looking your best. Haircuts, colors, perms, scissors can handle them all. And walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
This is Dylan Diemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Cullman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Cullman's Live 95. We are Cullman's independent radio.
Seed Harvest Music Academy offers a rich musical learning environment for those families seeking to get a jump start on musical learning. Offering preschool and elementary musical classes, Seed Harvest offers strings, keyboard, percussion, and most musical instruments. Your child can choose between several musical ensembles or private lessons. Take your choice from the senior and junior guitar ensembles, the Cullman Homeschool Orchestra or Jazz Band, or the Cullman Youth Strings, just to name a few. Plus, sibling and ensemble discounts are available, and the folks at Seed Harvest will work with you to find a tuition rate that will work for your family. Now enrolling for Christmas singers, ages 6 to 12, more information is available at seedharvestmusicalacademy.org. Micah and Brittany Simpson play in our local community symphonic band and are willing and ready to work with your child today.
All right, 522, back with you, Sports Talk Live, 95.5, and somebody keeps calling my cell, and they'll just have to wait, that's all I know. Is everybody like me, and Jay, are you like that? If you don't know the number, do you answer it?
No, generally not.
That's me. If it's important, they'll leave a voicemail. Or
it does depend on if I'm expecting a call from a random person or not.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'll answer more like if I'm expecting a contract or somebody to call me. But, yeah, if I'm not expecting your call and I don't know you, then I'm not answering.
Right. That's me. And I'm getting calls
it's because
from everywhere.
We get, like, what, an uptick in, like, the spam calls now, and they all have local numbers. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, what is the deal with that?
I'm not answering a phone from Carlos Gatta. Don't know you, Carlos. You know.
No, I've had a certain caller, and it is a legitimate business, but keeps telling me they have our company a $250,000 line of credit set up for equipment purchases, and I have.
Well, that'd be nice if you knew about it.
Yeah, I blocked number after number after number, and the next week they'll call back a different number. leave a voicemail. Same thing. I block that one. The next week, it's a different number.
Yeah, I had one place, and I think it was in Huntsville that was doing that, and they called from, like, I mean, they're all similar numbers, but, like, different, you know, the last digit's different or something. And it's like, yeah, I just stopped. Yeah.
And I got one, gosh, it's been a couple of months ago now, and I didn't know this till then, but there is the IRS has a warrant for my arrest. And these people were willing to help me by taking payment over the phone. And I played along with the game until we got there to the end, and boy, he was eating it up, I'm telling you. And so finally I told him, I said, let me tell you this, and then I'll go ahead and give you my card information. I said, but if you're going to run a scam, at least get somebody that can speak English.
Yeah.
And as soon as I said that, all I heard was a click.
Uh-oh.
And I called back, got somebody else, and you could hear several in the background talking, telling people the same thing. And so then I turned the table on them and told them that I actually worked for the, I forgot if I said the FBI or something, and the call had been traced, and we were coming for them. Of course, then I heard another click, and The next time we called, no answer. So.
Well, my favorite thing to do, so in one of my other day jobs, you know, we've got a business, and we purchased two or three companies over the years, and every now and then, you know, something will crop up out of one of those companies, and when we purchase them, we absorb their phone numbers too. So any of their old phone numbers, you know, they ring our phone system, and every now and then I'll recognize on the caller ID that, oh, it's that guy again, or, you know, somebody trying to get money from this company that no longer exists. And I'll just hit speaker on my phone and let them listen to my, you know, the radio station, you know, for a minute or two.
There you go.
Oh, well.
If those people that run those scams would put their mind to doing something actually productive, they could make a lot better living than what they're doing. So.
That's true.
Another, while I'm on pet peeves, before I get back into sports, I want to give everybody a few little hints that might help you sometime. It seems like, I know everybody is the same way. Every time you get in a hurry to go somewhere, everybody is taking their time. Some people are never in a hurry. It don't matter what, they're never in a hurry. So here are just a couple of tips that I ran into today. I thought if people could do this, it would help others that happen to be in a hurry, like I am 90% of the time. I was late because of a traffic accident getting to the station. I'm trying to hurry. I've got to drop something off at the mailbox. One vehicle pulls in front of me, turns and gets to the box, and I'm thinking they're going to drop their letters in the box and move on. No. They sit there and apparently had to address their envelope, actually two envelopes, before dropping them in the mailbox. So if you would, if you're going to use that at the post office, please address your envelopes before you get to the box. And then, lucky me, they pull up to the stop sign there, coming back out onto the main drag, West Main. I pull up behind them on the stop sign. Nobody, they're turning right. Nobody coming to their left. I kept sitting, waiting. Well, at this point, I don't know if she's doing her makeup or what. Finally, she starts to ease out and then decides, no, there's one in the far lane. I'm not going to go. So the right lane, still empty. We sat there and sat there and sat there until both lanes were clear all the way back down to probably Dodge City. Before she pulled out, and finally I made it. I got here, I guess, what, a minute to four?
Something like that, yeah.
So anyway, just a few helpful hints.
You know, Jason, we try to go a step beyond here at this radio station, and we're the only radio station that reminds you throughout the day of friendly things like this.
That's hey, right. Coleman, here's a public service announcement from Live 95. That yellow light in front of you at the intersection? Contrary to popular belief, it doesn't mean speed up. It means slow down and prepare to stop. Just another friendly reminder from Live 95.
Trying to keep us all safe here.
Yeah, and you won't believe this, but this is the honest truth. My nephew told my dad one time, we were in the car and we had come to work with his dad and he was riding with us, and so light turns yellow, dad starts slowing down. He said, Papa, what are you doing? And he said, the light's yellow. I said, I'm slowing down to stop. He said, you're supposed to speed up. I said, my daddy speeds up when it turns yellow. But anyway, all right, back to football while we wait on Rex. let's talk about Jared Stidham, a man down there at Auburn who started the year out being the number one quarterback to be drafted this year by some. He was in the top three in most all lists, and I don't know what's happened to him. He had shoulder surgery during the offseason, and he has a offensive line that, let's face it, they're terrible. Let's don't beat around the bush. Auburn's offensive line couldn't block me and Jay. But let's take a look at Stidham and what he has done and compare it kind of to last year, his stats. Right now, he is ranked 74th in passing yards per game. There's 129 Division I teams. He is 74th in passing yards per game. His completion percentage last year, 66.5, which ranked him in the top 10 in the nation. This year, his completion percentage has dropped to 60.1, which has him at 76th in the nation. Last season, his pass efficiency had him 19th in the nation. This season, he is number 86 in the nation. Let's see, last season, he passed for 3,158 yards. To date, 1,499, so just under half of what he had last year. The season, just over half, way over. Last season, he passed for 18 touchdowns. This season, to this point, 7. Last season, he threw 6 interceptions the entire season. Halfway point, this season, he has already thrown 4 interceptions. Last season, he had 8 fumbles. To this point this year, 4 fumbles. His quarterback rating, 2017 last season, 151. His quarterback rating to this point, 126.8. How bad is Auburn's offense? Auburn's offense in the SEC currently ranks 11th out of 14 in scoring. Scoring offense, 11th out of 14. Now remember, Gus Malzahn is the offensive guru. This is the man that's supposed to be able to put points on the board. Total yards, SEC. You ready for this one? Auburn ranks 13th out of 14 in the SEC in total yards per game. I don't know who's 14. I would venture to say it would be Vandy, but I don't know. Thank God for Vandy if it is. All right, a little more. Auburn is 109th in the nation in total touchdowns per game. Now get a hold of this, Jay. You better listen to this one. Auburn is averaging 2.3 touchdowns per game. Alabama and Oklahoma tied at number one with 6.3 per game. And this is the figure that really knocked me down. Rushing yards per game, Auburn is 113th out of 129, with a whopping average of 113 yards per game. I can't remember many Auburn football seasons where we didn't have a single back that averaged that much per game alone. And the entire team this year, 113 yards per game rushing. Gets a little better in the passing. Auburn is 67th in the nation out of 129. They average 231 yards per game. And points are at a premium for Auburn. To get a hold of this one, too. Auburn ranks 56th in the nation in first quarter points, 83rd in the nation in second quarter points, 102 in third quarter points.
So when you said 56th, I thought you meant 56 points a game. I thought, no, Jason, you're talking about Alabama.
That's right.
And then it dawned on me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And get this. In fourth quarter points, points scored only in the fourth quarter, Auburn is 103 out of 129.
Ooh.
So the longer the game goes, the worse Auburn gets. 56, 83, 102, and 103. I don't know the answer other than offensive line. The rumor to be is that Alabama, LSU, both I think last season, signed 12 to 14 linemen. Auburn signed 6. Something is wrong down on the plains. I don't know that the answer is getting rid of Gus Malzahn. I don't know that. There are 32 million reasons not to get rid of him.
A lot of people think it is, but yeah, right. I don't know either.
And you know, like Chris said, if you do fire Malzahn, who do you bring in to replace him?
Let's brainstorm for a second, if you will.
And it's got to be somebody that is actually attainable. We can't say Nick Saban or
true. Nick got into politics, by the way. Did you read that?
No, he would be elected governor if he won.
He has endorsed Senator Manchin up in West Virginia. Of course, Nick's from West Virginia. Apparently, they were childhood friends, and you know, it's all good. Although right. Senator Manchin, not of the party in power down here in Bama, probably going to ruffle some Bama feathers. But interestingly enough, the screenshot of the TV ad, Nick was wearing a green shirt. Probably a good choice for not red or white. So
yeah. Hey, and it wasn't it West Virginia whose senator actually voted for.
Yes.
Kavanaugh.
Yes, it was.
The lone Democrat that stuck his neck out and voted in favor.
No, he's not going to be a Democrat for long, I don't think. I know West Virginia is strongly turning Republican because, the last Democratic president did great things for the coal state, of West Virginia. Not. That's sarcasm there. But coming back to football for a second, I know, Tua sat out at the end of the game. He was not doing well, or actually I think he was doing fine. I think the coach was just being a little, overly protective. But let's assume that there's a deeper issue with his knee than, was being let on, and that maybe he's not going to recover and he may not play in the Iron Bowl. How would that change the statistics of Auburn versus Auburn? Let's just brainstorm for a moment.
Drastically. I would say Alabama right now over Auburn would be probably, the line would probably be
cut in half easily.
Oh yeah. Right now it would probably be 21 to 24. And I could see that going down to 12 to 14.
I don't think it'll happen, but it did, I wondered how that would change, how everything looked. So
I am actually, and you may have saw my statement on Facebook.
I did.
One of the only Alabama people that I would consider it an honor to hang an autographed picture of him in my basement.
Awesome.
And like I said, I'm the one that turned down, the dummy that turned down Bear Bryant's autograph when I was young.
I remember that story.
But I thankfully got a little more education since then, and would be glad to have to. So if anybody can get that, be glad to have it. But anyway, what has happened to Rex Chambers?
I don't know.
I'm texting him right now as I speak. Maybe we'll get him on here in a second.
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take another quick break and give him a chance.
All right.
To give a call in, and if not, maybe somebody listening would like to call in.
Yeah, I can get somebody to call. We're just waiting on Rex. So.
Let's see if he calls, and if he doesn't, then we'll give out the number after the break.
All right, good deal.
All right.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Cullman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Cullman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home.
This is Dylan Deamer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Cullman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Cullman's Live 95. We are Cullman's independent radio.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for.
fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Cullman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage, in MLS number 338177, Equal Housing Lender.
Twenty-one minutes till six, if you want to be exact. Rex Chambers joins us, as he does each week. Rex, welcome back.
Good to be here. I was already eating, and I forgot about you.
I thought that might be the case. I thought Rex has done forgot me. So. Hey, that's all right.
He called. Apparently, he was on the phone with somebody, but then I got to eating and forgot about it.
Hey, anytime you're eating, you've got a good excuse there. So.
There you go.
Well, Rex, tell us what's going on, and first, let's see what's going on in Auburn, in your opinion. Can it get any worse at Auburn?
Dumpster fire. That's the only two words that can come to mind. You might hear something loud popping in. I'm trying to put the trailer on the truck, but dumpster fire. It's horrible.
I never dreamed that we would lose to Tennessee. I mean, I thought that was a gimme. Now, if you've seen the scores, Liberty beat Troy, so even Liberty's not a gimme game.
You watch, though. I mark my words on this. They're going to come out the next 3-4 weeks and play like world beaters. I just got a feeling. It's too late, so it don't matter, but you watch, see if it don't happen.
It could very well happen, and I keep thinking that too, and my billfold is getting smaller and smaller from thinking that. So.
Yeah, it's going to happen, and they're going to, like I said, they're going to do it when it don't matter. And, because right now, see, they can win out now and it don't matter.
Right. What do you think about Alabama? Is it even fair anymore now that Tua's quarterback?
No. Yeah, it's not. Nobody's even going to compete.
No, it's
at all.
He is a machine.
Their offense is that good.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable. And I hate to say that about an Alabama team, but the truth's the truth. So.
Yeah, truth's the truth. And like I said, their offense is clicking on all cylinders. They got two excellent quarterbacks. One that is going to go down, I believe, in the history books. And nobody's gonna. The only people that beat them is they beat themselves.
Right. I agree. They're the only ones that can beat them. So,
and I don't see that happening.
Take Jalen Hurts and put him at Auburn under center. Is Auburn a better team with Jalen Hurts at quarterback?
They are. They're way better.
They're way better.
Do they compete better? Yes, they do. Do they beat Alabama? No, I doubt it. But they don't lose the games they lost this year with him at quarterback.
Oh, no. I think Jalen Hurts would be a perfect fit for Gus's system, but we'll never get to see it, so we'll never know. But I think he would be a great fit at Auburn.
The kid coming. Yeah, was it the next kid? Bo Nix?
Yeah, yeah.
He walks on campus today, and we don't lose those games.
You're probably right.
All I know, he's an immediate starter if he's on the field. He's that good. But if this dumpster fire keeps getting fuel blown on it, or if, say, another quarterback comes in, say the Clemson kid or something, which I haven't heard any news on him lately, then maybe he changes his mind where he goes.
Yeah, that's true. Did you hear? Did you happen to hear the how bad Auburn's offense is that I just went over?
I didn't, but I've seen the stats. It's embarrassingly bad.
How about? Let me just give you this one. Auburn averaging 2.3 touchdowns per game. They're 56th in the nation in first quarter points, 83rd in second quarter points, 102 in third quarter points, and 103 in fourth quarter points.
And none of that surprises me.
And averaging 113 yards per game rushing. The entire team, not one back, the entire team.
Well, we were what, 300 yards 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember many years that Auburn didn't have a one back averaging that much?
Oh, I know it. It's just, like I said, it's a dumpster fire, and the only thing they're doing to it every week is pulling fuel on it.
That's it. And 32 million reasons that Auburn won't get rid of Gus Malzahn.
I got a checkbook.
Yeah.
I'll write him a check. He can't catch it, but I'd write him a check if he'd walk away.
That's right. Yeah, I can write one like that, too. We'll send
him
two.
You got to watch what you wish for, though. Hey. There's way worse out there sitting in the bushes just waiting on the head coaching job to come along.
You're right.
But, you know, I'm to the point where I'm all about Kevin Steele. I give him the reins of that team and say run with it.
Yeah. I don't know. You probably heard that, and we may have talked about it last week, but actually Gus's winning percentage is right in there with all the other Auburn coaches, with the exception of Terry Bowden. He does have the highest by about 6%.
You have to look back the last almost 20 years. I mean, it's been games that they should win if they lose. That's so aggravating.
What's real concerning about Gus, and then we'll move to fishing, is if you take away season one and then look at his winning percentage at players that he has developed and played with, that winning percentage don't look near as good. So.
Oh, I know. It don't look at all good.
Right.
Yeah, you take away season one, he was without a job last year, probably.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Rex, what's going on in the fishing world? Anything biting, any good tournaments coming up? I know you've got the autism tournament coming up. Tell us about that and anything else we may need to know.
That's this weekend.
Oh, is it this weekend?
Autism tournament this coming Saturday, day after tomorrow. And it is out of Smith Lake Dam.
All right, can people sign? If you haven't signed up yet, can you sign up the day of the
tournament? Show up that morning. We'll blast off probably about 6:30. As long as you're there before 6:30, you can get signed in and fish.
Good deal. I wish
$150 entry fee.
$150 entry fee. I wish everybody could have heard last week's show and heard the stories that y'all told. And man, I sat there and watched, and I done your Facebook thing, but I could see it was heartfelt. The need for help in
the ones that miss it, go on my Facebook page at Rex Chambers Fishing. It's posted there, real close to the top.
And when you know somebody with that condition, and thankfully we don't have anybody in our family affected by that, but I do have friends who have children with that. It is heartbreaking, and if you want to do some good, like Rex said, $150 gets you in a fishing tournament and is a world of help for autism. So. And Rex, correct me if I'm wrong, y'all will take the money even if you can't fish.
If you can't fish, we'll take a donation and put it toward the money that we give our local autism chapter. And that, like I said, this is not some, we don't send money to some national chapter. This stays right here in Colvin County.
Good deal. It's not going to get spread out 1,000 times, and then the people around here.
And they don't go in some director's pocket or something like that. It gets put straight toward the kids, and they do everything. They help the families, the families that can't really afford to do a lot of things. They have group meetings. They do movie nights and stuff like that. So it goes straight to the kids that need it.
Good deal. All right, I've got to go a little bit different direction today with our fishing segment because my grandson came in last night with my son. He is 2 years old, and we were taking him tomorrow to a pond for his first ever real fishing trip. So, Rex, give us some hints on taking a kid for their first fishing trip. Now, we're going to be after brim, bass. It don't matter. As long as it bites, he's going to be happy, so.
Go by Mary Carter's store, get you a tube of crickets, some bobbers, and some little bitty hooks.
There you go. And he will think, he's done told me we're going to catch one big enough that we'll have to have a tractor to pull it in. So.
There you go. You put in a picking on a bobber, and you're going to have a blast and fawn this time of year.
Good deal. Anything on Smith Lake or Gunnersville? Warrior is the bite now, and what's biting?
It's all. The water's still too hot. It's all in transition. Next week, when we got some cold weather coming in, that's going to change our bite. Everything's going to get better. Right now, everything's in limbo, and it's not good at all.
Now, what, Rich? I used to fish all the time, and I moved over on Lake George, give it up. For some reason, I don't know why, I got a boat dock, sold my boat. But anyway, I was never a winter fisherman. What, and I guess it depends on the lake, I know, but say Smith Lake, is there a difference in the bait you use in cold weather fishing, warm weather fishing? Tell me something about cold weather fishing.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, once the water gets below that 60 degree mark, which we're barely out of 80. Once it gets below that 60-degree mark, then you get in cold water fishing, and then you have to drop down size. You have to go to smaller baits, slower baits, because the metabolism starts to slow down all the fish. So you got to start a little slow. You got to drop down and do some finesse fishing. Now, there are days when you can power fish and still throw a spinner bait or a swim bait, but as a rule, you drop down finesse worms, drop shots, spoons. I spoon fish during the winter. I would rather, when it's cold, I put on a half-ounce spoon, and I keep my head down watching my electronics all day long. I do numerous spoon trips for people during the wintertime when it's just cold, where you don't want to be out there, but that's when they bite it the best.
You got to be tough, though, right?
That's it. You got to have good clothes.
There you go. That's why I always stay inside and watch the football games. I'm not tough
there
enough about winter fishing. So spoons and slow it down, go to smaller baits. Once the water temperature drops below 60, right?
Once that water temperature goes below 60, then you're in cold water conditions, and you got to slow down and make your presentation size smaller.
I know this varies, but just as a rough, as we call it, guesstimate, when, and on a normal year, when will that water temperature be in that range around 60?
Should be end of October, but it's not going to be.
Right.
I mean, we're going to be in the 60s at the end of the month. So I'm hoping first, second week of November this year.
Okay, good deal. Any other tournaments you want to talk about? What is Rex Chambers doing right now? Are you still guiding, fishing any tournaments?
I just got back from Neil and Henry's, my one day of practice that I'll have time for the Alabama Bass Trail Championship. So it's on Neil and Henry next Friday and Saturday, week from tomorrow. And then after that, the only bigger tournament coming up is I do a Black Friday tournament, and I can't believe we're already talking about Black Friday.
Yeah, I remember that, and you're right. It's here.
The Black Friday tournament on Gunnersville. We'll always have a great crowd, and we'll do all the info on it next week, too.
Okay, that's for these guys that's wife has went that morning and spent a bunch of money, and you need some money to pay those credit cards. You go out there and try to win that tournament.
Or you just don't want to go with them.
Oh, yeah. It would be worth twice that not to go. So. All right, Rich. Tell everybody one more time before I let you go about the tournament this weekend in case somebody's just turning on.
Angling for Autism this Saturday, day after tomorrow, out of Smith Lake Dam, $150 entry fee. Show up for daylight and pay your entry and come out and fish for $5,000 first place.
Good deal, Rex. I appreciate you calling in. I'm glad we didn't get too much in the way of your eating, but glad you did call in.
I appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
All right, thanks, Rex. All right, Rex Chambers. We caught him, sound like in the middle of loading his boat, but nice enough to go ahead and talk to us there. 5:52, 8 minutes away from finishing this thing up. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. The State Department of Public Health says they're investigating 3 cases of polio-like illness. It's referred to as acute flaccid myelitis. The illness attacks the nervous system of the infected and can lead to paralysis, primarily seen in kids the age of 4. Doctors urging parents, vaccinate your children against polio and wash their hands regularly. Cold case in Tuscaloosa County, now 30 years old. In 1989, AC and Carolyn Worthy were found dead in their Lakeview home. Someone shot them and set their house on fire after the couple returned to it from church. Investigators believe their killer targeted a couple in Graceville, Florida that same year. Commissioners in Madison County have approved proposals to build two new storm shelters. Those shelters will be set up for people living in Harvest, Hazel Green, Meridianville, and Tony, with each structure holding around 200 people. The county getting help from FEMA to pay for it. Pilgrim's Pride Chicken Plant in Gunnersville shut down today after a fire. No one was injured. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A mistrial declared, charges dismissed against a former Coleman High School principal, Dr. Elton Bolden. A conflict of interest between a juror and witness after accusations of false testimony by a witness. This was the third trial for Dr. Bolden, who was accused of trespassing at a student's home. ACT test scores in Alabama, nearly 2 points lower than the national average at 19.1. State Department of Education says it's the fifth year of testing all 11th graders. That might explain the drop. State School Superintendent Eric Mackey says there has been a national downward trend on ACT scores, and new measures now in place will improve Alabama ACT scores in time. Many folks getting flu shots hoping they will be effective. That wasn't the case last year, but the CDC says vaccines have been updated to better match circulating viruses. Dr. Landon Westfall with Southern Research.
The successful vaccine, what you're looking for in the general population is at least a 60% protection rate.
He says even if the vaccine doesn't prevent the flu, it can limit how long it lasts. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In money news, several businesses have left the Patton Creek Shopping Center in Hoover in the last few months. Owners say business is softening since last Christmas. Hoover City Councilor Casey Middlebrook says they're looking at making changes.
Redevelopment options, changing the clientele somewhat, maybe include some entertainment spaces. Some office spaces as well in the area.
Patton Creek hosting a Halloween event Saturday for the whole community. A more than $1 million grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission is going to community colleges in Alabama. The money will be used to develop skills in the coal mining industry. Governor's office says the grant will help thousands of students and their families, as well as numerous companies. University of Alabama Faculty Senate opposing proposed evening parking permits that would cost $100 going to employees and students who don't have an annual permit and come onto campus after 3 p.m. University says it's about security and offsetting parking infrastructure costs. Senate says it's an undue burden. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Five fifty-six or seven, depending on which clock you look at. We've got about 3 minutes, so real fast, going to run over this week's predictions. As Ronnie always says, pull over, get somewhere safe for these predictions. These are going to be only mine since Ronnie's not here, but after I pick these, you can probably see why I'm losing this year, why my billfold is getting smaller. Let's start out at Arkansas-Tulsa. At Arkansas, Arkansas minus 7. We're going to play Arkansas on this one. Give up the points. I think Arkansas wins this one 31 to 23. Just barely 1 point. I'm going to save this one for last. Never mind. Vandy at Kentucky. Vandy 11.5-point favorite. I agree with Chris. I think Vandy does the job. They don't win the game, but I think they keep it within the point range. So I'm going to take Vandy plus 11.5. Kentucky wins this game 27 to 23. But Vandy getting 11.5 at Kentucky. Down in Louisiana, LSU giving up 6.5 to Mississippi State. Mississippi State getting plus 6.5. So I'm going to play LSU, give up the 6.5. In fact, I'm going to buy it down to 6 and take LSU minus 6 playing Mississippi State. I think LSU will win this one 30-17. And here we go. As bad as I hate to do it, Auburn minus 3.5, Ole Miss. I hate to do it again, but I'm going to take Auburn, buy it down to 3, up Auburn minus 3, Ole Miss. High scoring game, Auburn 41, Ole Miss 30. Alabama minus 28.5, again a 4-touchdown favorite over the Volunteers from Tennessee. Everybody's been screaming it's too much, too much. I'm still going to take Alabama, give up 28, and that's hard to say, but Alabama just that good offensively.
Do you think that Tennessee feels any better after defeating Auburn? Like they have a better chance of taking on Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure they're up there screaming, we want Bama, we want Bama.
But if they look and see how bad Auburn really is, they may not feel so good. So. All right, my game of the week, my pick of the week, North Texas at UAB, UAB minus 1, UAB favored by 1. I hate to do it, folks, but I'm going to have to go with North Texas plus the point. I think North Texas beats UAB outright 34-17. Not really even going to be close. 34-17, North Texas over UAB. All right, let's run down these real quick, just the winners. Alabama giving up 28, Auburn giving up 3, LSU minus 6, Vandy plus 11.5, Arkansas minus 7, and taking North Texas plus a point against UAB. All right, that does it. Until next week, let me leave you, and we don't have to hear the other part of this, let me leave you with a big War Eagle. Have a safe weekend, and we'll
join
you
with
next
that
week.
War Eagle, because they need it. I mean, come on.
All right, thanks for joining us,
thanks
folks.
For hanging out, Jason.
All right, see you later next week.
No longer new, but still all Coleman. We are Coleman's independent radio station. Live 95, WRJMLP, Coleman.
Seed Harvest Music Academy offers a rich musical learning environment for those families seeking to get a jump start on musical learning. Offering preschool and elementary musical classes, Seed Harvest offers strings, keyboard, percussion, and most musical instruments. Your child can choose between several musical ensembles or private lessons. Take your choice from the senior and junior guitar ensembles, the Coleman Homeschool Orchestra or Jazz Band, or the Coleman Youth Strings, just to name a few. Plus, sibling and ensemble discounts are available, and the folks at Seed Harvest will work with you to find a tuition rate that will work for your family. Now enrolling for Christmas singers, ages 6 to 12, more information is available at seedharvestmusicalacademy.org. Micah and Brittany Simpson play in our local community symphonic band and are willing and ready to work with your child today.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. So we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well store is located in the middle of downtown Coleman, conveniently located just a block south of the courthouse. This locally owned business offers friendly, no waiting, personal service. How can it get any better than that? Well, here's how. How about the fact that they even deliver within the city limits of Coleman? You've got a sick kid? Well, what could be better than calling Medical Arts and asking them to deliver the medicine that you need? In fact, I can't think of another pharmacy that does that. They also have a large selection of food for special diets, as well as health, food, oils, and supplements. Flu shots are available, too. They can be reached at 734-4933 or online at medicalwellnessrx.com. Let Medical Arts Apothecary save your day.
Hey, this is Susan Adkison with Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well Natural Store. We have proudly been serving Coleman and its surrounding areas for over 60 years, and we appreciate your continued business.